Okay, so first a little bit of my history. My grandparents were farmers and they came to the Lord in the 50s, as did my mum. And my dad grew up in the Anglican Church, and he came to the Lord, after he met my mum. So, yeah, God has had his hand on our family for many years. Mum and Dad fostered a girl just after I was born, and my brother came along a couple of years later. And the three of us grew up in the church. The year I turned 9, Mum and Dad went to Vanuatu as missionaries. Mum was a teacher, and Dad was sort of the maintenance man on the mission. I committed my life to Jesus when I was 9 in Vanuatu. And was baptised there. I know that the physical public testimony is important and essential, but I have always felt that my heart belonged to Jesus. We stayed there for 3 years and came back. Stuart came to our church when I was about 16, and we married four or five years later. And I became a midwife and we decided to have a family. I'd always loved babies. I'd always picked one up wherever I could find one. But when it was time to have our own, it became a bit of a problem. I wasn't a great prayer, and in that time, I guess I did pray for a child, but I saw a specialist, and I put the script for the medication on the fridge, and I said to God, I don't know if this is the right thing to do, so I'll wait a month, and if I get pregnant in that month, then that's good, otherwise I'll start on the treatment. And by the grace of God, I did get pregnant with the script on the fridge, and had a beautiful baby girl, Amy, and she's just turned 23. A couple of years later, we had the same issue, and I prayed the same prayer with the script on the fridge. In our journeys, God doesn't usually work the same way twice, and he didn't in this case. So after a couple of years of treatment, Stuart and I had the opportunity to go forward at church for prayer, and the next month I conceived. I spoke to the specialist just after that, and he said that he didn't know what to do. He'd done everything that he knew how to do, and he was at his wit's end. So God performed another miracle for us. Turned out I didn't have one baby, but 3. So God's faithfulness throughout that time was so amazing. I carried them to 35 weeks and had 3 beautiful babies, Emma, Alex and Scott, and they're 19 now. Our church gave us such amazing support and love and help. They fed us for a whole year. They fed us 3 meals a week for 6 months and 2 meals a week for the next 6. They provided a nappy service. They provided, one lady came and said, I don't cook, I iron. So she came and did our ironing for 2 years. They were so amazing. Through childhood ills and surgeries, you know, life, God has just kept his hand on us. And then about 4.5 years ago, God began to teach me how to pray. A good friend and a leader in our church fell pregnant, and she'd had issues as well, but turned out her baby had serious heart malformations. They investigated, obviously, while she was still pregnant, and they decided that they could be surgically corrected, but baby had to go to Melbourne. So she was supposed to have a baby in Melbourne, but in the end she had it here, and his name was Emmanuel. They called him Emmanuel before he was born. she had him at 35 weeks and flew him to Melbourne, and at 1 week of age, he had 13 hours of open heart surgery. I cry a lot these days. Okay, so if I cry, don't worry about it. That night, it was a Friday, and that night as I was getting ready to go to bed, I got a text at about midnight asking to pray. Emmanuel, his heart had stopped, and they were resuscitating him, and to please pray. Never in my life have I prayed like I did that night. I wept, I prayed, I asked, I surrendered. For 4 hours I prayed that night, and then I got a text at 4 o'clock in the morning saying that he was alive, that he was obviously critical, he was on bypass, but he was alive. Our church rallied around the family, and for 4 to 6 weeks we prayed 24 hours around the clock for them, for that little boy. And that was an amazing time for me. It was an amazing time of understanding more about God, about God's heart, and about prayer, and about, just relating to him. It was an amazing time for our church too. We came together and I prayed with people I'd never had before, and it was great. And Emmanuel came through every morning. The specialist would come in and say, "Oh, you're still here," and they just didn't expect him to survive. And by God's hand he did, and he's, 4 and a half now, and gorgeous little boy. Unfortunately, Satan responded. The spiritual attack that came to our church after that time was severe. I can only speak for myself. I didn't really expect it. I didn't, very stupidly in retrospect, I didn't recognise it. It came cloaked in light. And I guess because of the previous two, I wasn't equipped to deal with that, and we as a church didn't either. We'd had such a victory. We'd prayed and persevered together and seen the hand of God move, and then, we fell under Satan's counterattack. And that was the beginning of a new journey that God has called me on. Up until that point, God was good, predictable, and I couldn't see really anything changing. Almost every week that year, which was 2015, I wept through the services, as so much that had made my church home for 45 years was stripped away, changed in the name of progress and improvement. I had stopped regularly praying and spending time with God as I had through the previous months, and had reverted to my irregularness. And then in August of that year, Emma, who was then 15, got really sick. She didn't eat. She couldn't go to school. She wasn't sleeping. And after a lot of unhelpful doctor's visits, in which which concluded in "it's all in your head and have some antidepressants," God directed us to a doctor who diagnosed her with chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, and as a result of Lyme's disease. And once again, the church family rallied around us. So many people were praying for Emma, so many people who I knew by face but not even their names, and so many people that I actually don't even know now were praying for her. Her struggle has been a long one, but by the grace of God, she didn't despair. She wasn't quickly and miraculously healed, but by God's grace and as a direct result of the covering in prayer by so many, she chose to trust him and to fight on. She clung to her God and began to learn much earlier than most. Romans 8:37. Know in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. And Philippians 4 verse 11, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. And then partway through this struggle, my brother and his wife shared that their 13-year-old daughter was going through a pretty rough time. It sounded like spiritual oppression. She'd been going through it for a lot of years, but it was coming to a head now, and they were asking us to pray. And it was like something rose up in me and said, enough now. I guess my eyes were opened again to the battle that I should be waging for our kids, and that Satan is after them, and I needed to act. I chose then to commit to pray. I knew that I could. I'd done it before. I felt like God was saying to me, I began to teach you to pray. Will you continue with me? I answered, yes, Lord, and he has led me on. God did answer. There were a lot of people praying for my niece Jess, and God changed her heart. She was baptised November 17, and her heart for her Lord is, it really is just beautiful to see. Emma, in the meantime, had been on many medications and had much prayer, but there had been no breakthrough. We had 40 days of prayer, which the church again gathered around for her, and no breakthrough followed. I was praying, and my relationship with God was just growing, but that didn't seem to have any effect on Emma. Two events, I think, I saw that actually triggered it. Stuart couldn't sleep one night, and he was up at 3 o'clock in the morning praying for her. And my niece Jess had been at a seminar and had gone forward for prayer for Emma. And the speaker had prayed and over a tissue, I think, and had given it to her, and she passed it on to Emma. And then change happened. All of a sudden, she was walking up the stairs that we'd been carrying her up for more than a year. Amen and praise the Lord. I couldn't believe it. Her recovery has been slow. It's been, just probably about a year now since she turned the corner. But it has been continuous, and she's had no setbacks, and it's been such a blessing just to see her grow again. And see the hand of God at work in her. God's hand was so obvious even in the midst. 2017 was a very difficult year in every way, really. Work was difficult. Home was... Emma was sick. The other two were in year 12. But God upheld us. Financially, we were going through really difficult times, and God provided time after time. One day I opened, I got the mail, and there was a check from someone at church out of the blue, and that happened many times through that year. God provided us with someone from our church who, in obedience to him, gave, and then there were actually others who gave as well, who we did know. Throughout all of this, church, I guess, which should have been a place to come to on Sundays and to be refreshed, and wasn't. I was struggling so much and prayed so hard for God to intervene with what was happening, and to make right that which was just so not right in our church. And he was blessing us so much, and the people were so beautiful, but I was feeling so homeless and bereft. I battled in prayer. I confessed and repented. I walked the boundaries twice, as Joshua did, praying for the casting down of strongholds. And I won't say to no avail, because God works in his own time and to his plan, but I saw no change. I continued to hold on, though. My church was my home, my family, my physical family and my spiritual family were there. And I didn't feel like now was the time to leave. I believed that I was right, that to stay where God had planted me. Stuart and I had been visiting elsewhere. I don't think ever in the 27 years that we've been married, we'd gone into any other church, except for when we'd been away on holidays. But we both felt so strongly that we couldn't just leave. If God had a plan for us, he would have to call us out. And then, as Stuart reminded me just the other night, one Sunday, I guess I surrendered, and I said to Stuart, I don't think I can actually keep doing this. In tears, of course. I guess God heard what I did say and also what I didn't. I can't keep fighting. I surrender. Do what you will. And it wasn't long after this that God called. Rob came and asked if Stuart would like to come and help with worship at Darlington. And he said he would very much. And I guess the rest is history. We've been made so welcome here, and it's meant the world to us. Thank you. And as you can see, there is still a fair bit of raw wounds and healing that God and I are dealing with. But I can say that walking with God is never dull, hard, confronting, amazing, victorious, but not dull. I said a few years ago, I don't know what would make me leave, what would make me move on from here. And God has brought Stuart and I on a very difficult journey of trust and surrender, making us uncomfortable so that we can lean on him. I'm now in a place I couldn't imagine 5 years ago, and only God knows what the next 5 will bring. But I do know this. Know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And I know that he who called me is faithful and he will do it.